Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Seven. This is KWMR Point Wave Station.
This is Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and my guest today is Jamila Jordan from the County of Marin. She is the Equity Director. Hello, Jamila. Welcome back to KWMR Airwaves.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so very welcome. Well, we talked a while ago about this program where the County of Marin has $2.5 million for participatory budgeting, also known affectionately as PB. And
that's right.
And you had a big meeting on February 24th, and out of a five-step process, you are now on step two. So why don't you give us a little bit of background, Jamila, on what participatory budgeting is. It's a bit of a mouthful. PB is easier to say. And how it's going.
Absolutely. Well, again, Amanda, really great to be here with you and the audience here and to share where we are in our process. And so we launched our PB effort back in July of last year. And so we've come a long way in terms of hearing from community members about what their priorities are. How would they want to see this money be used? And as you mentioned in the opening, we have $2.5 million available for community members to decide how to spend that. And that's basically what PB is all about. It's allowing the public to decide how they want to spend part of a public budget. And so part of our early work from July up until now has really been focused on going out into community. So going to community events, fairs, meetings, you name it. We also have an online tool that we developed to get input from people that way. And we really asked them two fundamental questions. One is, how would you use this money to advance racial equity? And the second is, how would you use this money to transform or improve your community? And so we put together this tool that really allowed us to hear from folks about what their priorities were. And so far, what we've heard is that housing, of course, is a huge priority for people, more affordable housing opportunities. A lot of what people have been mentioning is around spaces for people to gather that are very much centered in community and culture. We've also been hearing about improvements to some of our public facilities, like soccer fields, for example, better transportation to connect people who live on the outskirts in more rural communities, such as West Marin, for example, safer streets for families to go out and play and thrive with one another. So that's just a sample of what we've heard so far, but a lot in the way of education, housing, transportation, parks and recreation, and of course, equity as well. And how can we focus Marin on being even more equity-centered as a county? And so that's what we've been doing for the last few months. And so now we're moving into the next phase, as you mentioned, Amanda, where we are inviting people to transform those ideas into actual proposals to through PB. And so we have a grant process that will allow them to get anywhere $1,000 to $250,000 to bring their idea to life.
Well,
that's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, Jamila. So, how do you feel that the outreach and the interest worked? I mean, did you get as much as you were expecting? Did you get fewer ideas? Did you get more ideas? And how would you compare this to participatory budgeting in other places? I know this is the first time for Marin.
Great question. So this is our first time ever launching a PB process here in Marin County. And what we know to be true is that other communities such as New York or Chicago or smaller cities such as Greensboro, for example, out in Southern Carolina, China, that they have different amounts of how they choose to spend money. So we really are groundbreaking in the sense that a lot of other PB have a much smaller amount of money. But it, you know, that doesn't mean that it's less powerful. It's just that we really are swinging for the fences, so to speak, here. So you look at New York, and for example, they have their $100,000 PB process. Or you look at Chicago, and they had about $1 million. And so, one, we have a larger amount of money for people to work with. And I know sometimes we had this big forum on Friday, and somebody said to me, and I've heard this before, he said, well, what's the big deal about $2.5 million? For a lot of communities in a place like Marin County, we do more, and we absolutely can, but this is just one effort as a part of our broader equity efforts throughout the county. And so I just want to kind of manage expectations for folks in that this is a lot of money that we're making available for the public to decide how to spend it. And to your question about outreach, you know, one of the things that I've been really noticing is that this is a totally new way for people to think about how they want to engage in civic conversations. And so part of it is just building our own muscle, you know, our mm-hmm. county muscle around what is PB? Why is it important? How can people use it to transform their communities? And so I think part of it is just building the muscle of folks to understand what is this and how they can take advantage. But I'm really pleased. I'm really that we've heard over 200 ideas from community members, and then we've gotten over nearly 2,500 likes of those ideas. So we anticipate getting quite a few proposal applications from folks.
Well, that sounds great. So how many people showed up for the event on the 24th, and sort of what was the format?
We had a full house, and I want to say maybe about 200 people. We were certainly at capacity in the building there. And it was just a beautiful way for folks to connect. I think we've been virtual for so long now that people just really appreciate it, being able to come together in the spirit of community building. So that was really special. But in terms of what the flow of the event was, I wanted to make sure, to the comment I made a moment ago around building muscle, is to demonstrate for folks that this is done in other places and that we are the first time doing it here in Marin, but it's been done really beautifully in places throughout the country and internationally as well. So we had our consultant come in from the Participatory Budgeting Project, PBP for short, and they've done literally hundreds, if not thousands, of PB efforts across the country at this point. So they shared some of their experiences. And then we also invited Vallejo to come. And I really was excited because Vallejo is our neighbor, you know, and a lot of people have an understanding of what some of their issues and opportunities are in Vallejo. And they are now on their 8th cycle of PB. Wow. And so we really have leaned heavily on what our kind of local jurisdictions have been doing in PB to make sure that we're doing it in a way that's really context sensitive and thoughtful for our community here in Marin.
Well, that sounds good. I'm encouraged to hear about this great participation. And I know that one of our public information officers from Marin County said that there were a handful of projects that came out of ideas for projects that have come out of West Marin, Jamila.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so I mentioned to you the one around transportation, and I'm actually looking at my PowerPoint here. And so in West Marin, we heard a lot around diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, DEIB work. We heard a lot around housing affordability. And then I mentioned to you transportation as well. So those were some of the top ideas that we heard so far in terms of people's likes of those ideas.
Yeah, not a surprise to hear about that, especially about transportation, because it's a stretch to get out here. It's really tough if you don't have your own personal vehicle. So we talked about this fact that you started last July and did the outreach, got concepts going. We're working on developing our PB muscles here in Marin County. And the next step, which is launching now, is sort of a two-part step two, which is to develop and then refine the proposals. So is it too late for somebody who missed the outreach boat, or are the projects that are on the map the ones that are going forward?
Great question. It's certainly not too late. And we want to continue to encourage people to submit ideas. And so we're going to keep that idea collection tool available from now into ongoing. And so one of the things that I want to be sure to mention is that we're also sharing the ideas with our 22 departments in the county. So we're sharing it with Parks and Recreation. We're sharing it with the Community Development Agency, for example, because we want, even though every idea won't be funded through PB, we want to make sure that our department staff understand what we're hearing from communities. What are the priorities of community members and how can they leverage what funding sources they have to bring these ideas to life. So although we have $2.5 million, it's really a much bigger effort than that.
You know, there's this sort of squeaky wheel concept in public work, you know, working for in the public sector, as I have in the past, about the folks who scream the loudest get the most. But what I like about this participatory budgeting is that it's not just like calling up you in the Office of Equity, Jamila, and saying, blah, 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 you should do this. It's really about participating in the process and having to put thought and a plan together around your issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very different approach to, and I like how you were saying it's sort of, it's changing the way we have these civic conversations, which, you know, things have gotten pretty polarized out there in the world. So anything we can do to bring people to a collaborative place for solving our problems in society is fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about what it is entailing for somebody who has this idea. Now, what do they do as we go into step two?
Great question. So what we wanted to do, and I want to be sure to mention that, we're focusing in on four communities in particular. So we're looking at West Marin, we're looking at Marin City, Novato, and the Canal / San Rafael. And we're using these four communities because we understand, based on what a data set called the Healthy Places Index tells us, is that these are some of the communities in greatest need when we think about health equity drivers, for example, when we think about other indicators that really help people live a long, healthy, and fruitful life. These are communities that we want to focus in on. Now, that's not to say that you can't submit a project outside of those communities. For sure, you can do that. However, we really wanted to use this effort, to your point a moment ago, to galvanize that civic spirit, that civic conversation in those communities in particular, because it is so easy to pick up the phone and call your board member if you feel so inclined to do that. But a lot of people don't really feel comfortable doing that. And I'm talking specifically around people of color. I'm talking specifically around low-income communities, specifically young people. And so we're wanting to galvanize this idea that you can participate in your local democracy. You can transform your local community. And this is one way to do it. And so one of the other thoughts that I want to be sure to mention and share with you all is that, and I'll be sure to come back to the application process, but is that we really see this as a way to get people involved in local democracy. And one of my hopes is that, you know, we in Marin County have a ton of vacancies on our various civic boards, our various civic committees and whatnot. And we want people to feel like they have access. And typically people who may not traditionally participate, people who have been historically marginalized, to feel like you have access into this process. So it's much bigger than just PB. It's much bigger than just $2.5 million. And I just don't want that to get lost for people. But to come back to what your question was specifically, so now we are in this this phase two part of the work where people can, you can still submit an idea, but now it's about applying to get the money, right? And so we have a stage one application, which is very brief. It's primarily multiple choice, just to make sure that we know what people, where they're leaning, and what type of support do they need in order to submit their more detailed proposal. And so it gives us a chance to not wait till the very end of the deadline process to say, wow, this is a great idea, but have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about this potential partner? So it gives us a chance to really support people, again, in building that muscle. We also have a fantastic team of grant writers that I want to make sure people are aware of. So we know that for some people, putting together a proposal application may seem daunting, may feel like, ooh, I don't really know how to go about that. And so we want to support people in that journey. And so we have a team of free grant writers who are available to support people in developing their proposals. And how do you make a really strong and compelling proposal application? So that's the first stage, is just submitting this very brief multiple choice centered form. And then the next stage is to actually submit your proposal, that kind of final detailed proposal version. And one thing that's really important to mention, Amanda, is that in order to receive the funding, people have to be either a CBO or a community-based organization or nonprofit, or they have to have a fiscal sponsor. And so by having this kind of two-stage application, it allows us to help connect and matchmake people, so to speak, with potential partners, because we can't, as the county, just give money to, a certain Jane community member, for example, or Jamila community member. Instead, we have to go through this kind of fiscal sponsor process. And so that's something I just want to make sure folks are knowing about. And they can start now to reach out to potential CBO partners. And so we actually had a panel discussion on this in the event on Friday to, again, make it less intimidating, to demystify what these concepts are around fiscal sponsorship, around having a nonprofit partner, for example. So we had a fantastic second panel where we had Community Action Marin, Chandra Alexander, their executive director. We had Marin Link come as well and share. And this is what they do all day, is provide fiscal sponsorship. And then we also had the Center for Nonprofit Volunteer Leadership as well, which is another group that does this type of fiscal sponsorship. And so I just want to make sure that people, try to apply early, because we have it on a rolling basis at this point. And it gives us, again, a time and a chance to really help people make the strongest application possible.
So there are some deadlines associated with the two-step application process. Do you want to just let folks know sort of when the second part, the more fleshed out, partnered up with your CBO application, is due for this process to effectively move forward?
Absolutely. Great question. So the stage one application can be submitted anytime between now and May 10th. And as I mentioned, it's a rolling application period. So we encourage folks to submit early. And that gives them a chance to work with our grant writers and to get the assistance that they need if they need it. And then our stage two application, is the deadline for that is May 31st. And so we did it that way because we didn't want folks to feel like, that they wouldn't be, let's say you just found out about PB, for example. So we wanted to give you enough time to submit both applications. So that's why. So basically it can be due on folks early, and they can and get the assistance that they need.
Well, I'm just thinking back many years ago, I had the opportunity to apply to do a partnership project with a city that I ended up ultimately going to work for later. But I remember the first time looking at that application and just being so overwhelmed by the terminology, just not being familiar with it. So I really commend you and your team and the group for the support that you're lending to people who aren't familiar with doing this type of work, because that can just be a hurdle that just makes you walk away if you're not feeling confident or supported.
You said it. You said it so well. And so we really are trying to shift the paradigm around how people can engage in these civic processes. And we, as the county, we want to be equitable grant makers as well. And so I've been thinking a lot about, and in the design of our applications, is we don't want people to have to jump through 50,000 hoops for, say, $250,000. Instead, we want to make this a really streamlined process where you're supported, and that ultimately the community will then decide who wins this money, right? And so that's kind of the last part of this work, Amanda, is, now that we're in stage two, where people are putting together these applications and defining their proposals and whatnot, from there, we'll decide what makes it on the community ballot, so to speak. And so after that stage, once the ballot is constructed, it'll be up to the broader Marin community to decide what they want to fund. And so we're really going to focus our outreach and efforts on those four communities that I mentioned to you. Now, anybody can vote, though, don't get me wrong, but we really want to make sure that those voices are a part of this process and that those communities are represented in this kind of election voting stage of it. And so that's kind of the last and perhaps most exciting part of PB, is where folks actually go out and vote for which projects they feel would make the biggest difference in their community.
So when does the voting take place, and how would someone vote if you're interested in supporting a project?
Great question. So the voting is, we're looking at September through October for the voting to take place. And, you know, we want to have a series of events where we put on basically these open house events. So the projects that make it on the ballot, you would be able to come and ask questions about these projects to better understand why this would be valuable for your community. And do you want to use your vote for that project, for example? So we'll have a number of kind of open house events where people learn about the projects. And then from there, we'll also have an online voting tool as well. So we'll have in-person voting and then online voting. And so we will have more information as that kind of gets scheduled, but we're looking at September through October for that to happen.
Wow, this is a great process. And then, of course, once they get voted for, then they will get funded, and then they'll start to implement their project. So this is going to be a really fun path to follow, Jamila.
Oh, yes, you said it. And I just so appreciate you for having me back on to share where we are. We'd love to come back when we're in the voting stage, too, to get people aware, because part of it is just letting people know that this exists. And so I just really appreciate your time on this.
You bet. And before I let you go, Jamila Jordan, the equity director for Marin County, other than participatory budgeting, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about what the equity folks and the equity department at the county is doing in the few minutes that we have.
You bet. Thank you for that. So we are the Office of Equity. We're based in the county administrator's office. And what we know to be true is that a lot of offices of equity are being developed now, and as a result of different factors and some of the civil unrest that took place and the murder of Mr. George Floyd and so many other people of color. And so we are based within the CAO's office. And it really is a beautiful thing because it gives us direct linkage and connection to the highest level of government here in the county. And so that's just to give you a sense of our positionality. But in terms of what else we do, we are also working on implementing the Race Equity Action Plan. So that's something that was approved by our board back in February of this year. And we're now moving into implementation on that. So that's one big piece of our work. We have PB, for example, that I just told you all about. We also have, we've also launched a process around civilian oversight of the sheriff's office. And this is something that came out of the civil grand jury report, where people wanted to develop deeper ties and connection and accountability within the sheriff's office. And so it's a way for us to just continue to deepen the sense of transparency and accountability within law enforcement, and to work in partnership with the sheriff's office as well. So that's another big effort that we're a part of right now. And then I could rattle off a number of other ones, but I think those are the big ones that I would want people to walk away with. But, you know, in addition to that, I guess the last one I'll say is that we also have put together, internally speaking, a race equity budget tool. And that's something that we are piloting now with about 5 departments in the county. And it's another way for us to ensure that resources are going to communities that are most in need, that we're changing the way we do business in the county in terms of applying a race equity lens to our work. And I really believe strongly that, you know, you measure what matters and you put your money where you feel is important. And so we just want to help our departments really think critically about how they can be sure that they are applying their resources to communities that have some of the greatest needs, so that we can change some of these outcomes that seem to be really stubborn and persistent here in Marin County. And for us to really think critically about how to do that. And I feel like budgeting is one way that's really important for us to make that shift. So those are some of the things that we're doing. And
well, sounds like you're helping a lot of people develop new muscles, Jamila Jordan.
I guess so.
You're like the personal trainer of Marin County equity. So it's great. I think that this is, you know, more than just talking about it or making statements. This is actually putting effort and work into training. I mean, you can talk about running a marathon all day long, but if you don't go out and train for it, you're probably not going to, you know, complete the 26.2 miles.
Mm-hmm. You said it. I know. We certainly are getting our workout in here. So, so yeah, absolutely. Those are some of the things that we're doing. And I just want to encourage your audience to check out our website. So we're at equity.marincounty.org, and you can really get a really nice overview of all the things that I've mentioned here. And it'll be a great way for folks to just stay connected to some of the work that we're doing in the Office of Equity.
Right. And if you want to learn more about the participatory budgeting, that's got its own super handy, easy website, which is just pb.marincounty.org, and all the resources, all the stuff, all the steps, everything you want to know about participatory budgeting is on that website and get you going.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Mila Jordan. Epicenter is a series dedicated to West Marin news and information. If you have ideas for topics, you can email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks so much for listening.